Hello, and welcome to the American Marketing Association Marketing Power Podcast Series. I'm your host, Nancy Pacala, Director of Online Content for the AMA and Editor of the Marketing Research Newsletter. Joining me today, we have two very distinguished experts. The first is Vivek Abhaskaran. He is founding member and CEO of Survey Analytics, one of the industry's leading providers of web-based research technologies. As Chief Executive Officer, he plays a key role in defining the company's strategy and using technology and innovation continuously to maintain its leadership in the industry. We also have with us Dr. Sonia Lucina, who is Senior Director of Talent Intelligence and Consulting with CareerBuilder.com. She's leading Personify's cutting-edge talent management consulting efforts and is responsible for building progressive thought leadership models that provide insight into the current workplace, talent market, recruitment, diversity, and employment branding. They both will be featured speakers at the AMA's June 23rd virtual event, Unveiling Marketing Research's Future Online. Vivek and Sonia, welcome to the program, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we think that today's market researchers are really finding themselves in the middle of a do-it-yourself kind of world. A variety of low-cost research tools and services are now available out there and are becoming really increasingly attractive to clients, product managers, and service delivery professionals alike. A shift away from full project outsourcing to self-service really seems to be now underway. So my first question to both of you is, since it does appear that a true paradigm shift from traditional research to self-service research is taking place, what do you feel is the cause for this shift, and what do you think it means for the market research industry?
Being that I'm one of the tool providers, I'll just go first on this. And obviously, there is a paradigm shift. You know, frankly, this is not just in the market research. If you just look at, you know, other businesses, you know, even in the marketing space, like email marketing, traditional direct marketing has moved online. You know, travel space, everything has moved online, and kind of it's more self-service oriented, more direct, connecting in more direct and more kind of hands-on approach. So the same thing, frankly, is happening in the market research business, and the way I see it is the primary drivers are, you know, cost and execution speed, really. So, we live in a 140 character, fast-paced world where things change really fast. So cost becomes, being able to do something on your own obviously reduces cost in some way, shape, or form. And, of course, execution speed. So if you want to get something done within one day, there's no time to source an external vendor, do something, and get something done externally. So those are probably, from my standpoint at least, two of the big things that that's primarily driving it from my standpoint. Sonia, what do you think?
And I would completely agree with that. I think those were the two main drivers that I saw, too, were just budget cuts really forced companies to look and see what is most critical to have today and what they could do away with. And the fortunate thing that we saw is that organizations still see the importance of doing research and the importance of having this intelligence to make decisions, so they haven't cut that out completely, but have instead turned their budgets towards some more cost-effective tools that are these do-it-yourself tools. Another thing that we do also see a tremendous amount of times is the speed of getting data, and that if you have to wait for a few months to receive information, oftentimes the organizational issue or change that you're looking to resolve is no longer top of mind for top executives. So these do-it-yourself tools really allow organizations to quickly find responses to the answers they're looking for oftentimes.
So it sounds like there are a lot of advantages to these tools, but are there also some, disadvantages to them or concerns for the market research professional? And also, do you think that these do-it-yourself tools are really providing an opportunity for research to be more widely adopted and used, particularly in smaller organizations who perhaps previously couldn't afford the resources of a full-time market research?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. I think that that's a great question. I think that one of the things that we have seen in doing some of this work is that oftentimes organizations are very excited to do research and very eager to conduct a study, but one thing that they might not have on staff is the right talent to actually execute the study. because there's a lot of both art and science in creating a good survey and in creating a good project. So what we've seen organizations do is really roll up their sleeves and push something out, where unfortunately when the information comes back, they realize that they didn't ask the right questions, or the way that they worded the questions really didn't allow for the respondents to answer it correctly. So all of a sudden they invested a lot of time and energy into doing a study that really in the back end just doesn't give them the valuable insights and answers to the business questions that they were looking for. So I think that for organizations to really take a step back and ask themselves if they're going to do the research themselves, to make sure that they have the right talent and staff to be able to execute it correctly, is critical.
Yeah, I mean, I'd kind of add to that. You know, it seems like the debate is being framed as if, you know, it's the, you know, if you have the tool, then you're doing it on your own. I think the larger point that I think I agree with Sonia is that it's the quality of the people you have. If you have in-house staff that actually can execute, then it really doesn't matter whether you know you're using a do-it-yourself tool or any other tool. Really, the tool is just a means to an end, frankly. So ultimately, you know, the paradigm shift is happening. In my mind at least, it's the standard cyclical where, you know, you outsource everything, then you insource it, then you outsource it, and so on and so forth. So at least at this point, you know, we see a lot of companies bringing research in-house, not necessarily just saying, well, you know, we're going to do it in-house, and they bring in talent also, obviously, in-house, along with it, or they promote internally, you know, fresh business grads, are well-versed in conjoint now. In most B schools today, you know, teach some sort of market research class coming out of college. So not that they have every, you know, all the real world experience, but at least there's the basics of marketing, you know, the science of market research already being taught. So that's the way, at least, you know, we see it. And the cons of, you know, let's just be honest over here. Look, there are, you know, a lot of pitfalls over here in terms of bad research. So, you know, you do a study and you don't get any data out of it, or more importantly, you get bad data and you kind of make a business decision based on that, is a very real threat. And everybody has to, you know, be inquisitive and be careful about, you know, the kind of data that we are getting. I mean, we are deluged with data, but is it good data or bad data? Like Sonia said over here, you know, you can very easily conduct a study and you can get some data out of it. That doesn't mean that's really beneficial for your business. And the checks and balances you put in place is going to define the quality of the data that you get out of it.
So it seems to me that despite the convenience and ease of using these do-it-yourself tools, it's still really critical that a market researcher adds value to this process, even if they're using those kinds of tools. So do you think that ultimately these tools will help or hinder researchers' ability to get a seat at that table?
I think, the tools make it easy, obviously, to get stuff done, just like how Facebook, you know, makes it easy for me to connect with my, high school friends. But the idea here is, you know, obviously the tools have also gone from, you know, being overly difficult to use to, you know, frankly, very, very easy to use. So that helps everybody, you know, from a pure kind of technology standpoint. Access to people has changed a lot. 10 years ago, it was not easy to get access to certain population demographics online. Doctors, for example, it was not easy to get it, but today it's still pretty difficult, but it's relatively easy. So all these tools, in my mind at least, help the kind of the smart market researcher kind of do his job better, kind of focus in on his or her value proposition, which is, frankly, their intellect, not necessarily their ability to execute, but their intellect in terms of knowing the business, knowing market research, knowing what kinds of questions to ask. That's what they should focus on, and not necessarily the fact that they're just conducting a survey. I think that's where the real disconnect has been. That's from my standpoint, at least, you know, just purely in numerics, you know, I think about 35% of our customer base are actually market research, they're actually, you know, are market researchers who are using our tools to actually service clients. From our standpoint, we are enabling these companies to actually execute on their projects. So that's at least, that's my viewpoint at least.
Yeah, I think that one really important question to ask, too, is what is the end goal of a project that a company is looking to conduct, and is it something to take a quick pulse and understand where the market is or what individuals are looking for out of a job, or is it something to, for instance, measure an employment brand or measure a large marketing initiative and see how impactful it was on the customers? And we had recently conducted a study with one of our clients just to actually measure the effectiveness of their marketing strategy, and they had just tremendous results. The way that they were able to move the needle in just 1 year, it was just remarkable, and they were able to get a lot of press for it. And I think the big part of the reason why that had happened is because they did join a third party to conduct the research, which added credibility behind their large increase. And we're able to really go out and say this is the success that we were able to bring forth. And one point that Vivek also mentioned that's separate too is that what we're seeing with a lot of our clients is that very few of them are interested in data. They're interested in intelligence, meaning they're interested in how the numbers and how the findings that were generated through the surveys or through the research studies, how can they most effectively apply to that to their business, and how is that going to impact the organization? So they're looking for individuals who are not only able to run the study, but able to give them some very smart takeaways for what to do with those findings next and how to very quickly and very effectively impact their business.
I think that's a really good point. They're looking for researchers really to provide them those insights that the data alone can't really provide for them.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to add one thing. I mean, I think, you know, I always say, you know, people are looking for insight, not reports. You know, too often we are like, here's a report. You know, who cares what the report says? I mean, what we really need is insight into what that really means. So, I mean, that's something that tools cannot provide. Tools don't provide insight. Tools provide reports, and insight is really provided by, you know, human beings.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to ask is, because we really can't fully address these market research trends without looking at what's happening in the social sphere. A recent Internet Advertising Bureau study, I believe, revealed that about 60% of firms surveyed said that they were using social media for research purposes, but then when they were queried where that fits within their organization, really only 12% chose research. And so I'm wondering where you see social media and these social media channels fitting into the market researcher's role.
Yeah, it's a terrific question. It's actually something that Career Builder has spent substantial time looking at over the past few months. And one of the great ways that we've been able to leverage social media is really almost looking at it as a qualitative part of a study, meaning if we're interested in studying a specific audience, maybe we'll go on Facebook and look at a particular group and see what are those individuals saying, what are their comments, what's top of mind, so that way we can more quickly hone in on the topic that's most important to that group and conduct a more robust study. And that really takes away a lot of the guesswork, especially for maybe groups of individuals who were not as intimately familiar right off the bat. So, for instance, if I'm an industrial organizational psychologist and I know the employment area really well, but somebody asks me to conduct an experiment or maybe in retail or young professionals who are in the retail area, I might go look at a group to see what are the different things that they're mentioning first, and that way it'll really help me narrow down the focus of study. I think that is really one good way to use it. I don't know quantitatively if it's as great of an outlet, but it really gives you this very quick and very, very current insights into the world of people who you want to understand better.
Great. And how about you, Vivek? Do you have any thoughts on that in terms of social media research?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, social media is changing very rapidly, right? I mean, you know, 1 year ago there was no mention, no realistic mention of Facebook. Today, you know, everybody's up in arms because of the, you know, privacy issues along with Facebook that is, you know, hammering the internet. So, you know, a couple of things. One, you know, you can use social media to reach people. The traditional way of reaching people has changed. We see a lot within our subscriber base. We're not even bothering emailing people to conduct, you know, come and conduct surveys. They're just Twittering it out and saying, hey, here's my survey. Here's a link to my survey. Twitter it out, put it out on Facebook, and they get the required audience, and they know that they're chasing after a particular demographic. Another example would be, ads on Facebook, for example. You can target, like Lasagna just mentioned, you could target a specific group. If you're looking for people in Fairbanks, Alaska, for a particular project, Facebook actually allows you to do that fairly easily. They're obviously, you know, Facebook obviously is riled in privacy concerns, but, you know, that'll sort out over the next, you know, few weeks, months, years. I don't know about that. But ultimately, you know, Facebook and, you know, Twitter gives you access to individuals in a different way that, you know, you really do not have originally. So that's one side of the social media experience. The other side, which Sonia brought up, which is actually, you know, the most important point, which is, you know, just qualitatively analyzing the data. There are tons of tools that I've developed, tons of technologies that I've developed that, you know, that can look at tools, look at, you know, the content that's out there, and kind of make, you know, somewhat sense out of it. And I think those tools will kind of, you know, develop further and further. And, you know, I actually think maybe they could be quantitative too at some point. Today it's not. Today it's, you know, fairly qualitative. I think the Carnegie Mellon study recently said that, you know, you could get sentiment instead of polling, you could get sentiment by just looking at the, you know, looking at Twitter data. I think that's a very broad one, and it's a good one. I mean, you know, I think it's a very broad one, but you know, it doesn't give you a very nuanced view, but definitely it gives you some amount of qualitative data. I agree to that. So, you know, that's where it's headed, and where it's going to go tomorrow, it's, you know, more along those lines. I think we are seeing lesser and lesser people even using traditional ways of just reaching out to people, using social media to reach out to people. And the next phase of it is, well, actually going, you know, to these groups and just kind of listening in on these groups, very efficiently, and then gathering kind of qualitative data out of it. I think that is going to happen. Maybe it's not happening right now, but, you know, more likely it's going to happen in about a year or so.
Right. The other thing, all these changes, social media, do-it-yourself tools and services, seems to me that it's really causing a shift, a change in terms of how we educate our future generation of market researchers and what that means for new business grads, those entering the field. I'm wondering what your thoughts are in terms of what do you think that the next generation of researchers will need in terms of skill sets, approach, education, to sort of meet some of these changes that we've been talking about today.
Yeah, one of the things that I would recommend is just, you know, having gone through graduate school and received a PhD in a very research-based field that, as we mentioned before, just being able to tie it into the real world and real business applications will be absolutely critical. And I think that that is one area that university and programs still fall short oftentimes, is that they do teach their students very rigorous and very, very strong ways of being able to run studies. But once the numbers are done, I feel like a lot of times individual researchers' hands are tied and they don't know what to do next. And if somebody asks them, how do I apply this information, they're not sure. So I think that that is one very, very real area to continue to explore. And I do think that with social media trends changing, it'll be important for them to also keep an eye out on how that will impact research. And we talked about a lot of pros of social media and some cons, but as fast as social media changes, those are bound to change as well. And I know one thing, I looked at the Carnegie Mellon study on Twitter and I just smiled, because a lot of what Career Builder does with our data is we have so much and we spend a lot of time categorizing it and understanding it to really be able to draw that meaning out and know what individuals are really trying to say through the words and through the phrases that they're putting in. And I think that with Twitter, we're not there yet, but I don't know how long it's going to be before maybe somebody figures that out, or maybe there'll be a completely different way of social media, and that could bring tremendous value. So I think those are the really two big things for me, is one, looking at continuing to teach students and for students to know the rigor of market research, but then being able to apply to the business settings. And then two is continuing to keep the pulse on social media and seeing how that is going to continue to impact our research world and really ultimately make it better over time.
Those are great points. Vivek, do you have anything to add in terms of how you think that will affect the future market research profession?
Yeah, fairly quick point. Today's people who are doing market research today have multiple hats. I mean, you go into any business, people are not just doing only market research or only marketing or only social media marketing. that's a fact of life. You know, people are, you know, in charge of digital marketing. People execute on digital marketing initiatives. And so all these things are combined. So, you know, the whole notion of market research is separate than, social media research is separate than digital marketing. They're all usually combined. So, you know, grads have to understand that, and I think schools are almost understanding that right now, that it has to be somewhat of an integrated approach. You cannot just have some guy just doing only research and not necessarily knowing the business at all, knowing the marketing side of the business. So I think grads who kind of have a holistic view of kind of data collection as well as marketing will have obviously a better understanding, and we will be better placed to get into the workforce. Really, I mean, that's what we are saying. You know, many of our clients are you know head of digital marketing for a company, and they do everything from you know making sure their social media strategy works to market research to customer satisfaction research, and a whole host of things. So, we live in a multipolar world, so. Which means that, you know, you have to wear multiple hats. So, you know, that's something that grads have to understand. And, people who can wear multiple hats obviously will go further.
That's a great perspective. Had one more just question really quickly to ask both of you. If you could offer our, you know, current generation and perhaps future generation of market researchers one piece of advice, what would that be?
I would say, you know, deep industry knowledge. Three things, really. You know, deep industry knowledge. So I think the days of saying that, you know, I know how to conduct a web survey or an online research study, therefore you should hire me, is kind of over. You can't, I know people used to pay $40,000 for conducting a web survey in 2000. You know, that gravy train is over. So what I'm seeing right now is, you know, strategic consultants doing market research, people who understand the business, people who understand the retail business really well, and they're saying, well, we can conduct research also for you as part of our strategic advisory. I mean, you know, I've had McKinsey consultants go out and do market research for the clients. So one thing is for sure, that, you know, market researchers need to have industry knowledge, have to be able to come in and say, we're going to provide you with insight, not just reporting. And, you know, that's part one. Part two would be kind of the research, you know, the ability to come and say, like, you know, we understand the research methodology really, really well. That's part of it. And finally, you know, fast execution. People are still need that fast execution time. So if you can provide those three things, I think, you know, then you have a winner in your hands.
That's great advice. Sami, do you have anything else to add?
I do. I would say that it's really critical to continue to focus on innovation, and we've seen a lot of strides happen in the area of market research, but I feel like in the next few years there could be so much more, both on the focus of how do you really engage the people who you're looking for opinions from, and to continue to make it valuable for them to share those, because all of us get a lot of surveys every day and get our opinion asked quite frequently. So how do we continue to get the right people to come and provide us the answers and provide us the insights that we're looking for? And two, after we've collected that information, what is the best way to present it back to our end client? Is it through a dashboard? Is it through some other kind of innovative strategy? And how do we tailor those strategies from somebody like the CEO, who I've seen are very, very interested in intelligence, all the way to a research analyst who is going to be very interested in the mechanics behind it and the detail and everything. So how do you really package that to tailor to all of the audiences, because they are interested? So how are they going to consume it the best?
Well, thank you. These have been very wonderful insights today. We've been talking to Vivek Bhaskaran and Sonia Lucina. You can hear more of their critical insights at the AMA's upcoming virtual event, Unveiling Marketing Research's Future Online, to be held June 23rd. To register for this free full-day event, please visit marketingpower.com/future of research. Vivek and Sonia, thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our Marketing Power podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. Make sure you sign up for the RSS feed on marketingpower.com so you're aware of all the podcast series available to you. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Pacala. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Please stand by.